This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I think Arabs make up 20% of Muslims, so you know, there's not even as many Arabs, I think, in the whole world as there is Indonesians. So, I mean, Islam's for everyone, and if you just look at the map of the world, it's every colour, every creed, every nationality. I went through a period of about 5 or 6 years of my life where basically, if you were to look at me, you'd say he's a scum of the earth, and that's the way I was treated, and that's what I was, and it was from my own hand. I destroyed my family, I destroyed myself, I destroyed anything that I ever care about, and I kept on going down and down and further down in life until I was at the bottom of the barrel. I was pretty much the worst people, and you know, certain things happened to me that, you know, I don't want to elaborate on too much further here, you know, because as a Muslim's meant to conceal his sins, and I'm not too proud of how I used to be. But there came a point where I asked God to save me from what was going to happen to me. I was either going to get killed or certain things, and I said to myself, I'm going to become, I have to do it now, mate. There's no turning back, Muhammad, you know. You've come to this point in your life where, you know, last panta has God Almighty shown you, you know.
I must admit, I did have a lot of the believed and a lot of the negative stereotypes about Islam, such as sort of the irrational, the terrorist, misogynist type attitude of Muslims. And when I found this was not the case, that it spurned more interest. And, well, what else don't I know? And the Muslims actually that I met, like the first time I actually had that human contact with Islam and Muslims, they were actually some of the finest human beings that I'd met, and it was quite shocking to me, actually. I was listening to a ABC news radio, and they said that a Queensland company had just marketed a special honey, a medicinal honey, because honey has a lot of antibacterial properties, okay? 2 days before that, I'd been given my first Quran, all right? That afternoon, I thought to myself, oh, that's interesting about the honey, etc. That afternoon, I went home, and I said, oh, let's have a look at this Quran. And I opened it up to Surah the Bee, and I apologize, I don't remember the verse, but the very thing I read when I got home was,
وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ أَنِ اتَّخِذِي مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا وَمِنَ الشَّجَرِ وَمِمَّا يَعْرِشُونَ.
And your Lord inspired to the bee, take for yourself among the mountains houses, and among the trees, and in that which they construct.
ثُمَّ كُلِي مِن كُلِّ الثَّمَرَاتِ فَاسْلُكِي سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ ذُلُلًا يَخْرُجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا شَرَابٌ مُخْتَلِفٌ أَلْوَانُهُ فِيهِ شِفَاءٌ لِلنَّاسِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَةً لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ.
Then eat from all the fruits and follow the ways of your Lord laid down for you. There emerges from their bellies a drink, varying in colors, in which there is healing for people. Indeed, in that is a sign for a people who give thought.
And that blew me away. I mean, wow.
If I ever find I need to cleanse my heart or, you know, soothe my senses, I just read the Quran.
before I came to Islam, you know, what you see on the news and what you hear, it's the same thing that someone who's ignorant of the religion and doesn't really pick up a book and start reading about the religion would have. Like, those same ideas, you know, terrorists, just Arabs and so forth, blah, blah, blah. So it wasn't too good of a view, but the fact that I knew some Muslims kind of balanced that out. There was a time when I was just doing some vacation employment at uni and, you know, there was nowhere else to pray, so I just got up and said, okay, I need to pray, and I just prayed, you know, right on the side there, and after when I finished praying, they started asking about Islam, and it's an opportunity, I guess, to tell them more about Islam. Initially, they'll be like, you know, they don't know how to take it, like, because they don't want to say anything wrong, but it's a matter of saying being steadfast and making yourself known as a Muslim so people would ask you, because I think a lot of people are curious just exactly what Islam is. And if they find out you're a Muslim, then they'll tend to have... So far, personally, my experience have all been positive, so they've all been like, you know, oh, just what is Islam, what do you pray, etc., etc.
Islam began in Indonesia through tradesmen. The honesty of these tradesmen in their business dealings and their manners sort of made them stand out in that society. And so when the message of Islam came, it was easy for them to accept. Previously, Indonesians worshipped idols, which meant when Islam came to them, it made sense to them. And that they realized that gods cannot just be carved out of stone or wood, and that God is much greater than that.
Islam is one, and that's what I really love about Islam. It, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what religion you come from, it invites everybody in, and it's very different to what the Jewish people teach you as well. So that was another reason why I actually came here, because in like a sense it sort of makes sense, because it starts from Adam and it goes all the way to the last prophet, and that involves everyone. It involves all religions that believe in God. One thing that really stood out was when they got somebody in, and it was like a young boy, and he was actually reading the Quran in Arabic, and I started to feel it in my heart when he was reading it in Arabic. And to me, like, I don't even understand it. I was actually wanting to cry. I was actually thinking, stop it, because I'm going to cry in a second. So, like, that's when I knew, well, definitely I feel it in my heart if I can feel this, yeah.
A lot of people don't like change. But if Islam was, if Muslims lived the way the Prophet ﷺ lived, how could anyone not accept Islam? And this is the most important thing, that Muslims hold the torch, and they must, you know, show the rest of the world that, you know, this is how Muslims are, this is how Muslims should be. One of those things where I'd left home early and had, you know, I was had a good upbringing and I knew right from wrong, but I wanted to get a taste of life, and, you know, alhamdulillah, Allah saved me, you know, at a young age, rather than going into the bad things in life.
If I wouldn't have found Islam, I know that I would have had a very hard life. I was going in the wrong direction, so Islam sort of it gives me a peace. That's what I know. It gives me peace. I know where I'm going. I know what the future is. Like, you know, where you're gonna go, heaven or hell. You know, and so I know it's been a stable part of my life. And I know I treat my parents well. You know, alhamdulillah, I treat my parents well. And I know that if I hadn't found Islam, it wouldn't be like that. Islam and Christianity, there's not much difference. Like Christians have a strong feeling of doing things right for God. Like, they're really religious. Like, I believed in God before I was Muslim. And of course, I still believe in God. And so do my family. They believe in God. And so, just the thing about Jesus being part of God, that's the only thing about it. Otherwise, Islam and Christianity, they're very, very, very similar. You know, Islam, you're not allowed to have alcohol. So, of course, that problem, that big problem in my country will be solved. And a lot of men will dedicate more time to their families. And, you know, yeah, there's problems with stealing as well. You know, stealing is not allowed in Islam. I think that would solve all the problems all around the world, the major problems. And people will start concentrating on themselves and their families that have more time to think. Because when they have a problem, they just start, you know, they drink alcohol, they do drugs. They go out and, you know, try and forget about their problems. But if you know you've always got God, like, you have time to think about your problems, yourself, and the meaning of life more.
I was a practicing Christian. I had a lot of questions, however. A lot of things didn't sit well with me, and I had a lot of questions that I'd asked of the priest, and I found that there weren't the answers there. So I definitely found Islam to be very different from what I'd previously believed, but I also found it to be authentic. An authentic religion, because I'm a very analytical sort of person, and when I do something, I like to research it and ask all the questions. And I found that with Islam, I could ask those questions and they'd be answered, whereas previously as a Christian, they'd just be dismissed, you know, with a smile or with a comment like, oh, you don't need to know about that, and things like that. I mean, actually, Islam put humanity in my heart, you know, it really did. Like, previously, I didn't have that humanity that I have now, and it's something that the world really needs, because I feel like the world at the moment is in, you know, such turmoil that it's actually searching for answers and searching for structure. People actually need answers to the questions. You know, I've seen a lot of people who have had a lot of money and a lot of power, and they still don't have that fulfillment. They're still, their soul's still searching for that, for those answers that they can't get. And Islam offers all those things. You know, it offers the guidance of God to humankind, and it puts that humanity in the practicing Muslim's heart, so that the interaction between the different races and cultures is a harmonious one, you know.
And especially in South Africa, where you do get this black and white mix and that separation of black and white, which was wrong, you tend to see that Islam can bring you together and, you know, nullify that corruption and unify everyone. So Islam is generally, well, I feel it's for everyone for sure. A universal message of Tawheed was brought to everyone by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and especially from South Africa, where you do have black, white, coloured, multicultural like Australia, definitely for everyone, and unites everyone on that basis. Until you learn Islam, until you put it into your life, until you start practicing Islam as a true Muslim should, you then see what the real life is, and what life is all about, and what your aims and objectives are. And Islam has shown me that, and taken me away from all the fitna that I was in. And alhamdulillah, with Islam on your side, it's a guard. So you just keep to your religion, you be firm, you keep regular attendance to lessons, and you just keep in that strong environment with good Muslim people.
In America, every year, 42,000 people accept Islam every year before September 11th. In the UK, 15,000 people accept Islam every year without no organized dawah. After September the 11th in America, 78,000 people accepted Islam. In the UK, 26,000 people accepted Islam. What do you want? They are accepting Islam even though we are being cursed and slandered. The Quran is a medicine. The Quran is a healing. The Quran is the word and the scripture from Almighty God revealed to His Messenger 1,424 years ago, 6,626 verses retained and memorized by millions of Muslims in the world today. Every human being needs to read the Quran and build a relationship. It will open up a door for you that you never saw before.
You have to show the world. Let it out. Cause everything reflects on what you do. Believe it and you will be free. You've got to believe in yourself. Have to show the world. Let it out. Cause everything reflects on what you do. Believe it and you will be free.
Coming up to 16 past 11 on 2GB 873. Last week you would remember the Anti-Discrimination Board and Chris Puplik released a scathing report on the media's portrayal of stories involving race. The report said the media had been inflaming anti-Muslim sentiment. Well, on the show, everyone has a say, regardless of race or religion. Joining me online now, I'm pleased to say, is Sheikh Khaled Yassin, who's visiting from the UK. He's a Christian who's converted to Muslim, to Islam. Originally from the US, he's holding a number of lectures on Islam over the next week, and he's online right now. Good morning, Sheikh Khaled.
Good morning, Ray. How are you feeling?
I'm particularly well. It's nice to talk to you. For those who aren't familiar with you, could you tell us a bit about your background? You were once a Christian who's made the change of faith. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And when did that happen?
I became a Muslim in 1965. Seems like eons ago. And in the same year of the tragic assassination of Al-Hajj Malik Shabazz, better known to the world as Malcolm X.
Now, would it be fair to say, and I'm not trying to be funny about this, that you're a bit like an Islamic version of Billy Graham, in that you travel the world trying to convince people to turn to the Islamic faith?
I guess part of that that characterization I might agree with, although I don't feel a mandate upon myself as Billy Graham, perhaps, to convert people to the Islamic faith. However, I do have a mandate to expose people throughout the world, according to my ability, to the correct value system of Islam, and to invite them to consider that and to apply that to their lives.
In relation to recent events, and most notably the events of September 11th and Osama bin Laden, how difficult has that made your job? And how difficult have people like Osama bin Laden and others like him make your job?
Well, Ray, I think that, to be very objective, I think that any time that any tragedy like the September 11th incident takes place in the world, it distorts people's view about many things. And I think that Osama bin Laden being a Muslim and people associating that particular incident with Osama bin Laden certainly distorts people's perceptions about Islam. And so one of my responsibilities is not to address the Osama bin Laden issue, but to address the issue of Islam relative to the September 11th incident.
Mm-hmm.
and to distinguish Islam from the acts of Muslims or Christians or anyone else, and to clarify in the minds of people that Islam is not a religion of terrorism or fanaticism or extremism, and that such actions, whether it be September 11th or, for that matter, the Oklahoma bombing or anything else, such actions should not be associated with a system of faith like Islam or, for that matter, Christianity.
But I guess whether it's Catholics or Protestants or Muslims, that extremists make it particularly difficult for us to move forward as a group of people in the world, be we of different faith or Jewish faith or the like, that when extremists take control, as in fact they have in more recent times, it makes the job more difficult for everyone.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Just that I think that it's a very important that people keep in mind that a global faith and set of values such as Islam and or the faith of Christianity should never be indicted or impugned because of some actions of a group of people who allegedly may associate themselves with some form of extremism.
Can Muslims and Christians live in harmony and respect each other's values and beliefs?
Well, we have to look historically, Ray, and see that, as a matter of fact, since the time of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, in the 7th century, Muslims and Christians, did live in harmony. Conflict is inevitable when you're talking about human beings and civilization.
Mm.
So to eliminate the world from conflict, obviously, is an impossibility. But at the same token, to live in reasonable harmony and tolerance, this is the objective of Islam, and Islam has demonstrated that over several centuries that we can historically refer to.
So one of your lectures is titled Islam, the Only Solution for World Peace. I mean, obviously, from what you just said, it's not just the religion's the only solution for world peace, but it's a combination of perhaps Christianity and Islam and the rest of it, world peace, if we all pull together in the one direction.
Yeah, I think it's important for people to know that Islam is not by definition a religion. It's a comprehensive system of life that has a very clear set of values, whether it's in the political field or the social field or the governmental field or any other part of the human drama. And as such, it should not be viewed from purely a religious point of view. And certainly, we feel, as Muslims, that the Quran has the basis for putting forward a very profound platform for world peace and for sustaining that, and that it should be considered by the world as such.
Mm. Just on that, that makes it difficult because you say it's a way of life, not just a religion. Well, how difficult is it for people who come from another part of the world that settle in Australia as Muslims to embrace our culture and embrace the way we do things as opposed to the way they used to do things? Are they compatible?
Yeah, of course, and I want to make a clear distinction as we speak between Muslims and Islam. You know, Muslims are the people who themselves attach themselves to Islam either by profession or by some kind of testimony.
Mm-hmm.
But Islam is the system of faith and the values itself, which has its own sources. As such, the basis of Islam is one that preaches tolerance and brotherhood and fraternity with everyone in the world. As such, when a Muslim moves anywhere in the world, he or she should become a peace-loving, a law-abiding individual, and should learn to adapt and tolerate the culture and the mentality of other people wherever they go.
If Saddam Hussein doesn't encapsulate all those things, what should the world do about Iraq? And there's talk in the last few hours of the Americans and the British going in there.
Well, I think, you know, the issue of Saddam Hussein has many different approaches to it. One, Saddam Hussein as an individual certainly has his deficiencies that that the world has seen, and that's unfortunate. But I don't think that the personal deficiencies or the character of Saddam Hussein should be confused or with indicting his entire country and therefore putting his country into on the precipice of war and destruction, or for that matter, the ongoing perpetration of sanctions and things that have brought about a tremendous amount of suffering and disparagement upon the Iraqi people. So I think that the issue should be addressed differently, of course. I'm an American citizen, and as an American citizen, I still have the right to express dissent even with my government's position, and I do. But at the same token, we live in a very complex world, and sometimes we are unable to resolve things the way that we would ideally like to resolve them. And in the words of an individual who is very profoundly known throughout the world, Dr. Martin Luther King, he said, "It's unfortunate that although we live in a very sophisticated world, we are unable to resolve issues in a very sophisticated way."
Mm-hmm.
And so I, like many people throughout the world, I shudder at the thought that a sophisticated society like America and others who would act in this manner seem to move without good thought and good resolve to be able to try to find a solution to this issue without the kind of destruction that is going to take place in that part of the world.
But Sheikh Khaled, you've confused me in a sense. You are an American citizen, therefore you're afforded that freedom to which you referred to object to what the American government does, but the people in Iraq under the regime of Saddam Hussein are not afforded the same luxury that you are as a free American citizen.
Yeah, of course, but at the same token, Ray, neither the Americans nor the Australians nor the British or the French or anyone, they're not the policemen of the world. And they're not the ones to go about throughout the world regulating or restoring what they consider to be the human rights of other people. I don't think that the approach to this issue is right. It's not just a matter that of Saddam Hussein. And I think that to keep clouding the issue with the criminal characteristics or the history of Saddam Hussein, I think to cloud the issue with that is to belittle the millions of people who themselves are quite innocent and are subject to the tyranny of Saddam Hussein. And so who is America, Great Britain, France, or anybody else to go throughout the world to be the policemen of the world to restore human dignity and human honor and so forth and so on through the destruction of another country?
But if they don't do it, Sheikh, who does it? Who frees the people of Iraq from this despotic regime?
Well, let's see if we can reverse that, Ray. Who frees the people of the so-called Western world? Who frees the people of the Western world from the corruption that we see blatant throughout the Western world? Now, I'm not pro Iraq, and I'm not pro Taliban. I'm not pro anybody in particular, other than I'm a person who is a lover of peace and a God-loving person, and I think that there should be some justice even in the scriptures of Christians or in the scriptures of the Muslims, that there's a way for us to be able to approach situations without going into a country, destroying a country, for what reason? To bring down a despotic ruler. The historical evidence that we have for this kind of move doesn't bring about a new, I mean, what are we going to bring about, a new regime? Is the Americans or the French or the Germans or somebody, are they going to appoint someone whom they think is better than Saddam Hussein? And has the Iraqi people themselves asked for this? They haven't. So I don't think that this is the way. It's not a matter that Saddam is right or wrong, of course. From a moral point of view, Saddam Hussein is wrong. Saddam Hussein is a tyrant. Saddam Hussein, you know, has brought about, made many improper decisions. But at the same token, I don't think that America or France or Great Britain or any of these countries have the right to take it upon themselves to be the restorers of justice while they themselves are guilty of injustice in their own countries.
I've enjoyed talking to you. I hope you have an enjoyable time in Australia, and we'll talk about where you'll be able to be heard through the course of the next week or two.
Okay, thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you. I appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Sheikh Khaled Yassin.